Creamy. Crunchy.
Food court. Food court with Richard Blaze. Argue in the food court. Food court with Richard Blaze.
Listen, here we go. All right. Welcome to Food Court, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Richard Blaze, and I will be your host and your judge in this courtroom. Our two guests today will have to live with my final decision. Joining us in the court today, we have two amazing chefs. And also, listen, I've known them for a very, very long time, which is not me saying that we're all old. But listen, they know their stuff, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to tell one of them that they're wrong today. And I'm not looking forward to it, because this is the thing. Like, these are friends. These are people that I look up to, and someone's going to lose. They're both judges on Chopped, who love talking about and eating food. It's Amanda Freitag and Mark Murphy. What is going on today, gang?
Thanks so much for having me.
So happy.
I'm excited to be here. And it's always a pleasure to be involved with anything you do, Richard. And of course, with Amanda, you know, we do work together on Chopped. And she's actually been right a few times. So we'll see how this goes today.
We will see. Opinions are not hard to find when these two are around. And I have to get this off. Listen, this is a courtroom, okay? So, like, I will have to sort of, eventually leave my opinions at the door, so to speak. But I want to tell both of you that you know, I probably have said this before in person, but I want to say it on air, in my courts, how much I admire both of you. And when I became your friends, what a big moment that was for me to become friends of Amanda and Mark. That was a big moment for me. So I'm always grateful for your friendship.
Oh, love you, Richard.
Such a nice things when the camera's recording.
By the way, your hair is looking amazing today. Your hair is looking on point. I don't know if it's Carrot Top or Conan. I don't know who it is.
I hope it's Conan, like Conan the Destroyer. Like, I hope that's what it is. You're not the first person to say Conan, and now that means I really have to get a cut, because I don't know. Like,
well, you're barely, I mean, listen, this is a podcast and people can't see, but you're barely fitting into the little screen on my thing. The top part's just cut off.
The hair, yeah.
Hold on, I have the technology to zoom
back. There
you
go, that's much better.
Okay.
I think you should do a mousse versus gel episode. Mousse versus gel.
Always the content creator. We should do that. We should do a non-food related food court. It has to be edible. That's the only thing. It would have to be edible, which I always thought would be a fun thing.
Anne Burrell and Guy.
Mm-hmm. And I always say that the secret people don't know of Anne Burrell, Guy, myself, Elizabeth Faulkner, our hairstyle, the recipe is simple. It's equal parts duck fat and liquid nitrogen.
Perfect.
That's it. That's all you need. That one, Mark didn't like that one.
I mean, I just use olive oil, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you do. Now listen, the judges are becoming judged today. Today we're talking about condiments, something in the food court theme song that no one has argued yet. But first, let's get to know each other a little bit better. Amanda, you've competed on Beat Bobby Flay, Next Iron Chef, so many different things. You're just crushing the Instagram game now during the quarantine with Easy AF, to name a few things. What's your most favorite and least favorite things about competing on TV?
Ooh, my most favorite thing is what my brain creates under pressure. I cannot believe it. It's amazing what happens under pressure. Every time I go in thinking I'm not going to be able to think of something, 7 seconds later, I have too many ideas. And I really love that way of creating, that pressure cooker of creating. What I hate is my nerves, because my nerves have taken me down multiple times. Mm. I can't find a way to relax. As much as I love the adrenaline rush, sometimes it really clouds my focus. So the nerves get me, but I love the pressure, the creative pressure.
Mm. We are the same person. Like, it's improv, right? It's the only way for us to really, I mean, sometimes it happens when you're at home, but really competition is improv. And that's an art form that we don't get to use a lot as like restaurant chefs, right?
I mean, the other thing is I just always want to keep going, right? Like that's the other thing that's the negative for me. It's like, man, if I don't get to go the next round, I'm just warming up.
Yep, that's we are the same person, because that's my problem with food competition shows is I wish it was more like a sport where you play 10 games. If you win 7, you're a champion, right?
Yes.
But no, you lose once and then all of a sudden you're gone.
Ugh.
And we've all been there.
But I love
We've all been there on both sides. What's now? This is a tough one, though. What's your favorite competition? Because you probably have to be careful with this answer.
Listen, I wish I could say my favorite place to compete is the Chopped Kitchen, but it's not, because it's actually the hardest. I really loved competing in Kitchen Stadium. You know, my very first competition was an Iron Chef against Bobby Flay. I competed twice to become an Iron Chef on Next Iron Chef, 2009 and 2012. So Iron Chef, the Kitchen Stadium to me is a magical, magical place. I really love it there. Although Guy has created this tournament of champions that truly is the most evil. The randomizer, I think, is the most evil. But I like cooking in that kitchen. It is easy to cook in that kitchen once you get going.
Said like someone who's competed on there and done well, which is not something I can say. Mark, listen, where are you from? I know you've lived all over Europe. But where are you from?
I'll give you the brief description, because it's much easier that way. I was born in Milan. I am half French. I have a French passport and an American passport. My mother's French. Father's American. So I was born in Milan. I lived in Paris, Nice, Genoa, Rome, New Hampshire at one point for a boarding school that I went to. And now I live in New York, basically, and I love to travel. This pandemic's got me tied down, which is driving me nuts.
You're such a gypsy,
Listen,
Mark.
I'm a bit of a
gypsy.
Yeah, but you know, now I've been in New York 30 years, practically. So I really have made New York City my home. I sort of thought, I guess as a younger person, I thought the only place that's going to be able to handle me is New York. So here I am. I'm in New York.
There it is. And all I heard was boarding school in New Hampshire. Was this a disciplinary action that was taken?
It might have been. I might not have lasted there, because I got kicked out for something.
Fair enough. Now, listen, with that sort of pedigree of being literally a man from all over the world, what were your favorite things to eat growing up?
Ooh.
You know, there was always this one moment when I used to spend this, there was this little town called Louret above Grasse in the south of France. My grandfather and my grandmother, when they retired, that's where they went, right? When they retired. Look, some people moved to Florida. My grandparents are French, so they moved to the south of France. And when I'd go there and spend the summer there, which I very much enjoyed, my grandfather always used to take me to this one restaurant that was a little bit far away, but he used to take me there because there was a foie gras terrine that they served there. But the old school, with the gelée around it, with that jelly, the aspic all around it. And I used to get such joy out of eating that. And he, I think, used to get such joy out of watching me eat that was like our first trip when we got there. And that was, to me, one of the most amazing memories. But the second one was also with my grandfather, because once a week he would go down to Grasse and he would go to his cheese ladies. And he was a very... You know, he was a very good-looking guy. He had the big white hair, and he'd go in and charm the ladies, and the ladies that worked in the cheese shop, and of course they had, you know, the little grandson would come along with, and they would just start plowing me with different cheeses to try this one and try that one, because they would always give you a little piece to try. So I would walk out of the cheese shop. I mean, sometimes I would have a handful of cheese going, I just couldn't do it all, man. I was trying them all, but I couldn't keep up. And that was like one of the most amazing things, is going into these cheese shops. He would go once a week, and that was the cheeses for the week. And you know, we'd have to eat the camembert if it was ready. You know, if il est fait means it's soft in the middle, it's ready to go. It would be go, let's buy one that's ready, and let's buy one that's ready in 4 or 5 days, because we want a camembert in the beginning and the end of the week. But we need to have one that's less
ripe. Wait,
Mark,
I need to interrupt you for a second, because the world wants to know,
what is
Murphy,
yeah,
are you Irish?
Well, my grandparents on my father's side.
All this French, all this Italian. Where's the Murphy?
Well, the Murphy was my father's father, my grandfather on my father's side. It was immigrated from Ireland. And yeah, so that's where it comes from. And interestingly enough, right before the pandemic hit, about a couple months before that, was my first trip ever. I went to Ireland finally. I'd never been.
I remember.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Which was great. It was really nice. Very, very nice.
And then, of course, I want to know, as a child then, was there a moment where you found like an old little piece of époisse in a pocket that you forgot about?
If you have a little old piece of époisse in your pocket, it will find you. It's not your.
You know about it.
You might have to throw that coat out.
Amazing. Okay, now listen, here we go. This is the case that we have in front of us. Amanda, please tell us about the case you've brought into the food court in about a sentence or so.
Oh, Okay. In one sentence, I'm here to defend the ultimate condiment, the master of umami, ketchup.
Ketchup.
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
Ketchup as the best condiment in the world, potentially. That is a hard take, especially for a chef of such accolades. Mark, what are your thoughts on ketchup?
You know, and just talking about my background, and I'm not huge on ketchup. I never, you know, I grew up in Europe, obviously, and ketchup was not something that, and you know, I think this has a lot to do with your parents as well, because I did not have much ketchup in my life as a child, because my mother, who was French, was maybe a little snobby about it and sort of turned her nose up to it. So it was one of those things that I didn't really have the chance to get to know, so to speak.
I think we had stock in Heinz. We had stock in Heinz, yeah.
Perhaps you had the rival of ketchup. Maybe you enjoy another condiment, Mark.
You know, there's a lot of other condiments that I like, but you get those questions and they go, what's always in your fridge? Well, Dijon mustard is always in my fridge. Let's be plain and simple about it.
So it's mustard versus ketchup.
Yes.
This is an epic food court debate. It's the big one. Mark Murphy, Amanda Freitag. I cannot believe it's taken 40 episodes to get to this. It is American ketchup versus, you know, mustard. Here we go. Before we get into your arguments here in court, we like to have a quick trivia round before we get into the debate.
Woo!
The winner, Amanda loves trivia. The winner of the trivia round gets to decide the order that you present your arguments in. But also, trivia is fun and we are friends, so let's get into it. Amanda, what will your sound effect be?
Ding, 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 ding.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding. The prize fighting bell. Mark, what will your buzzer
be? Let's see if this works.
All right, ching, ching. I like it. Okay, there we go. The clink of a glass versus the verbal ding, 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 ding. Not to be confused with the end of round sound. Which is a glass that I took from my room. Hopefully I don't break that like I do most of the glasses in food court. It's ready to go. Here we go. Trivia. Question one. Are you ready, Mark and Amanda?
Wait, I need to know the rules a little bit better. So when the question comes, I have to ring and then
stalling.
I get to answer first?
Yes, competitive much. Mark Murphy, yes. You have to ring your buzzer.
I'm just checking and also slowing down Amanda because she's about to jump out of her seat.
Get that glass ready, Mark. Here we go. Question one. In what city would you be making a big faux pas if you were to put ketchup on a hot dog?
Ding, 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 ding.
That is Amanda Freitag.
Berlin?
Ooh.
What'd you say?
First of all, kind of a trick question. She said Berlin. Mark, do you want to jump in with the answer?
I'm not 100% sure because I'm not a real authority on this, but I think
Chicago.
It's Chicago. Is she allowed to have two answers?
We have to gap.
She's out of line. I think she needs to be recused, or what do they say in the courts?
I was claiming my time.
We are gaveling Amanda for inappropriately yelling out the correct answer, which was Chicago.
But I was thinking internationally. Murphy, I'm sorry. I needed to go domestic.
You were. Listen, you mentioned it in the open, like overthinking perhaps.
Yes.
Overthinking this one.
Exactly.
Going with Berlin. Which, you know, currywurst gets a ketchup. So I think that kind of...
Your Honor, do I get that point?
You do get that point, Mark. Mark Murphy gets 1 point. Of course, the answer was Chicago, but it's not just Chicago anymore. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council recently came out in disapproval of adults using ketchup on hot dogs. How dare they?
How dare they?
For those 18 years of age and older, acceptable wiener toppings include mustard, relish, onions, cheese, and chili, and that is it.
I'll top my wiener with anything I want.
So says the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. I feel the same way you do. I like a little chutney. I like a little tomato chutney on my dog. I just won't call it ketchup. Here we go. Question two. Mark Murphy is in the lead. This one is a multiple choice. What mustard brand has become known as hip-hop's favorite condiment? A, French's. B, Grey Poupon. C, Gouldens.
Ding, 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 ding.
That is going to be Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy gets the...
I think it's the second one you said.
Mark Murphy just going back to his SATs. He's taking the middle one. just because maybe that's correct. The second one
he
was
has
Grey
to
Poupon,
say the,
and
or he has to say the thing. He can't just say the middle one.
Can we turn her camera off?
I have not had to gavel someone twice, especially my friend. I can't, Amanda. You, this is a court. This is a court. I will do the disciplining here.
Okay.
Mark said the middle one. I will accept it as B, knowing that Mark knows that B is in the middle of A and C. The answer was B, Mark. It was Grey Poupon. It was first referenced in the Das Effects song East Coast in 1992, bringing me back to when I had dreadlocks.
I knew that.
Which is a true thing. Which is a true thing. And it's made its way into a song every year until Kanye West's Life of Pablo in 2016, most recently in Kendrick Lamar's Humble, where he uses it in the same line as TED Talk. Crystal, producer Crystal, coming in big with a hip-hop fact.
Nice.
Question 33.
How many questions are there? Could she even win now? Because I'm already way ahead.
Yeah, well, Mark, I cannot. I can.
Thank you. Order in the court.
Rivals are in the house.
I object.
Usually, Mark Murphy, yes, you would be correct that each question is worth 1 point, but because of the penalty that you just committed, question three is now worth 7 points. Question three is worth 7 points. This is my court. Whoever gets this question right will win the trivia round. In 2011, France banned the use of ketchup in school cafeterias on all foods except one. What food is that?
Ding, 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 ding.
Amanda Freitag.
French fries?
Amanda Freitag with a not real confident answer of French fries. But her last name is Freitag, and she is correct. Freitag rhymes with fries. 7 points for Amanda. She takes the trivia round, coming back after being disciplined twice and saying Berlin for the first time ever on this podcast. Amanda, you now have 7 points to Mark's two. That means that you've won the trivia round, and you have the hard decision to make right now. Do you want to present your case of ketchup first, or would you like Mark to talk about mustard first?
Mark goes first.
All right, Amanda's going to take last licks, so to speak. That means Mark will present first. Before we do that, let's take a quick break. We are back in the food court. To recap today, we have the case of ketchup versus mustard, a condiment debate that happens all over the place in backyards across the world. Kids have especially strong opinions on this one. Embry, do you prefer ketchup or mustard?
Yes!
Embry prefers ketchup. Luckily for Mark, she will not be making the decision today. Now listen, the way this works is that each of you will have 3 minutes to state your case. During this 3 minutes, you need to lay out your case and not focus on your opponents. Use the first 3 minutes as your campaigning time to really convince me that you're correct. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes.
I got you, yes.
Do not fret. You'll get 2 minutes of rebuttal time to say anything you want negative about ketchup or mustard. 3 minutes are on the clock. Mark Murphy, you present first your case for mustard. Your time starts now.
Well, mustard. It is a, to me, it's one of the most important ingredients in cooking. And it has so many more versatile, uses than ketchup. I mean, I'm not going to talk ketchup down because I think it'll just speak for itself when I tell you how good mustard is. So first of all, mustard is a base for so many sauces. I mean, if you think of an aioli, people are always saying, things about ketchup and French fries, which it's okay. Really not that great. But I mean, ketchup with an aioli is, it's far superior, right? And of course, what is in an aioli? There's obviously mustard in that. So there's just a simple example of how a French fry, and you can go and talk to the Belgium about this, because in Belgium, that's what they put on their French fries. It's the proper thing to do. Let's just put it that way. And then, of course, you think of finishing sauces. It gives such a great background. You can make vinaigrettes with it. I mean, what are you going to make a vinaigrette with ketchup? I mean, yuck. Ketchup is not as versatile. I'm just going to put it that way. Not only that, and you start thinking about mustard and all the different types of mustards there are. I mean, you've got your classic Dijon, which is, of course, I think the king of mustards because it's far superior than the others. But right behind it, I'm not going to put, I'm not going to throw out of bed my, you know, my whole grain mustard. That's going to come. That's something that's a wonderful product as well. I'm not as happy about the yellow mustard that people put on hot dogs. I know it's a classic here in America, and but it is still in the mustard family. So we're gonna bring it along with us because it's just another part of my argument. It's part of it's another folder in my file of case study here of the superiority of mustard. And you know, let's talk about the health benefits. Mustard is one of those things that is obviously much healthier for you than ketchup. Ketchup, a lot of the times, has sugar in it.
What way?
and that is not something you want to add more to. I did actually, when I did speak to a guy once who was talking about versatility on mustard. He was the purchaser for the Sixth Fleet. And it was when I was in Rome, and I was working at the embassy after I got kicked out of school once, and I was working in the mailroom. And I was talking to this guy, and he was the purchaser for the Sixth Fleet. And for some reason, they had messed up an order, and one of the cruise ships got so much mustard that they couldn't use it all, but they didn't know what to do with it. But there's the right amount of – he had to study the mustard that they had gotten, and he realized that there was enough vinegar in the mustard that they could use it to wash the dishes because it would cut the grease. So there's another sort of usage of mustard that kind of just, you know, takes you through it. Oh, I think my time's up. I can't wait to hear
time
the
is up. Rarely, especially when it comes to chefs, but these are celebrity chefs. Rarely do they fill the 3 minutes. Mark Murphy coming in, filling the 3 minutes. Let's all be honest. Who knew where that Sixth Fleet story was going? But
in a bottle of mustard.
He wrapped it up though, and I am curious. I want to wash some dishes in mustard right now. I don't know if that's a great like pitch for mustard, but it's versatile. That seems to be Mark's stance there. It's versatile and it's healthy for you, and it's in so many things that maybe you don't even know if you're not a chef. So a great case laid out there for mustard. Amanda, you now have 3 minutes to let us know why ketchup is the best.
Okay.
All right, your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay. Ketchup is the original, like I said, umami. Ketchup was originally made from oysters and mushrooms, anchovies, lemons. It was actually made in China. Original word was ki siap, and it was made from fermented fish. And so we brought tomato into this, which also makes it much healthier because tomato has lycopene, which has been known to help prevent cancer, everybody. And not only is there one tomato ketchup in the world, but there are 57 varieties under the Heinz umbrella alone. 57. Mark's, I'm ready to fight. Anyway, where would we be without ketchup? 97% of America's homes have a bottle of ketchup in it. I grew up with it. I know there was nothing wrong with ketchup. And when you think about it, you really probably couldn't make it through 7 days a week without having ketchup in some form. It's in barbecue sauce. It's in and on top of meatloaf. We put it in cocktail sauce for shrimp cocktail with horseradish and lemon and pepper. It's glazes. It goes into curries, stir fries, pickles, coleslaw, Russian dressing, Thousand Island, even Catalina. Come on. And it has everything you would ever want in a condiment. It's salty. It's acidic. It's sweet. It's colorful. It's quite beautiful, actually. And it complements French fries and hamburgers. It's like peanut butter and jelly. There's no other combination in the world that's better than that. And I will stick to my guns on that ketchup fact and opinion. And I stand down and I'm ready to fight.
I stand down, but I'm ready to fight.
Wow.
An impassioned argument.
I'm really happy with this is not in a studio. I'm scared of Amanda.
You should be.
I mean, she went to the Mayo Clinic and found all this information out about the lycopene and the catechin and the whatever she made up there. We're gonna have to do some.
Do you not know about tomatoes?
Is there a fact checking? Is there a fact checking thing here?
There is. I've never used the gavel as much. Probably because it's fun, because these are two birds from my hotel room. I broke one. Don't tell them. But Yes, Mark, we do have a fact checker. That's producer Crystal. She is texting me while the arguments are happening. And all of those are facts. Lycopene is a real thing that is in tomatoes. My question would be, Amanda, Tom Brady doesn't eat lycopene. He doesn't eat tomatoes. So can it really be healthy if Tom Brady doesn't experience it?
He also doesn't eat french fries or burgers or meatloaf.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough that he wouldn't go near ketchup. That is fair. I don't know if it is a positive for most Americans who might not know. In the opening, Amanda says, ketchup's about oysters, mushrooms, and fermented fish. People do not know that, and we probably maybe shouldn't tell them, but we know as chefs that's why it provides lots of flavors. Catalina dressing came up, and at one point, Amanda waxing poetically about salty, sweet, colorful, beautiful ketchup, and my mind goes straight to Andy Warhol. Oh my gosh, is it art? What a debate. Ketchup versus mustard. We are now to get into our rebuttal now. It's time where, Mark, you get to tell Amanda why ketchup sucks.
Well,
2 minutes. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, am I ready?
he is ready. Mark Murphy, your 2 minutes starts now.
Okay, well, my first question is the original ketchup, which you claim to have come from China with the oyster and all those umami flavors, does any of that exist in today's ketchup at all, first of all? So are we talking about an old, a condiment that has changed so much? It sounds like the original was probably a lot better, all that umami flavor. Because I have to tell you, when I taste ketchup, the last thing I think about is umami. I think that the recipe now, which is what I'm going with, and maybe there are 57 varieties under the Heinz umbrella. I'm not 100% sure why you have to have, that many of one ingredient that's just not that great. It seems a little overkill to me. But, you know, it is interesting, too. One thing I do know about ketchup is they have to change the recipe for different countries. From what I understand, in Europe, they actually have more vinegar in the ketchup recipe. And to me, that just goes to show you the problem with ketchup. It does not please everybody. I can assure you that the Dijon mustard is one type. There's different flavored Dijon mustards, but you know, like they'll add like maybe an herb like a tarragon Dijon mustard. And by the way, there is a mustard that I did not bring up earlier, and I'd like to talk about briefly is the purple mustard, which is made with grape musk. And that to me is also an amazing ingredient. Just to, like, so if, for example, if you think of ketchup and there are 57 varieties, I bet you that the difference between those 57 is not as much of a difference between, let's say, a Dijon mustard, a whole grain mustard, or a yellow French's mustard, or a purple mustard for that sake. I just think that the variety is, there might be numbers listed that Amanda was talking about as she's holding up a thing of ketchup with the number 57 on it. I think I'm going to have to just rest there for now. Thank you.
Mark Murphy coming in. I will say, I don't know if Mark Murphy has ever represented anyone in an actual court, but it sounds like it. It sounds like it. Maybe it's just also like I can see his house, which it looks like there's an attorney that lives there. And
yes.
Someone's and what a well, like really kind of debunking maybe the fact that like if you want to talk about variety, maybe it's mustard, right? Maybe mustard is really where the variety's at. Purple mustard. Crystal, have we ever had an episode where fermented fish and grape must were both mentioned in both arguments? That is insane. All right, Amanda, listen, you have 2 minutes now to let Mark know why mustard is the worst. Get it? The worst.
Ooh, ba-dum-bum.
And I don't even have anyone writing that stuff. Here we go. Amanda, your 2 minute rebuttal starts now.
You know, respectfully, all of what Mark said, in his opinion, is true. Mustard is very versatile, and there are many different kinds, but certainly not as many as ketchup. As we've seen over the last 10 years, many, many companies trying to beat the Heinz, like Sir Kensington, or every chef in every restaurant making their own ketchup. I mean, who makes their own mustard? Nobody, because nobody wants to. Everybody wants to make their own ketchup. They want to make it better. They want to make it bigger. They want to be the next Heinz with all that flavor balance inside of it, okay? And when you talk about the different varieties of mustard, you're talking about one flavor note, and there's lots of vinegar and lots of acid in there. And let's just go back to kids for a second.
I object.
Kids are the most honest of all creatures. And when kids say something, that means it's true. And kids love ketchup.
Kids lie.
Okay, I'm not finished. Could you make a meatloaf without it? I can make meatloaf without mustard. Nope. Could you make barbecue sauce without ketchup? I can make barbecue sauce without mustard. Yes, sometimes they both end up in there, but you cannot do it. You can't make it without ketchup. There's so many things you can't make without ketchup, especially life in general.
I will tell you this. It is this is a
lies, all of them.
This is a tough one right here. Ketchup versus mustard, Amanda versus Mark. Wow, I have a lot to think about with this one. I have no idea. Usually at this point, I know who's going to take it. I am not so sure right now. So I'm going to quickly retire to my chambers, which is off screen here for 5 seconds.
Exhibit A. I have an exhibit I'd like to present.
Okay, Mark, you will have one minute closing when we come back from this recess.
I just want to say that there's Japanese meatloaf that recipe doesn't have ketchup in it. I just want to put that out.
Oh, really? We will, the Japanese are famous.
We will strike Mark's last meatloaf. Comment about Japanese meatloaf as it was
Thank
said
you.
Off,
Thank you very
off
much,
time.
Richard.
We'll strike that one. Japanese meatloaf will not be in consideration of this. I'm going to retire to the chambers.
Make that your next competition.
I will be back. We're at a quick recess, and I'll come back with my verdict.
This is hilarious.
Japanese meatloaf.
Japanese meatloaf.
I might have made that up.
I love it, by the way.
I might have made that up. It's good, though.
I think you did.
Okay, we are back in the food court, and I think I've made up my mind. But before I deliver my final verdict, do either of you have a final word you'd like to say in about a minute or so? Mark Murphy, it's your last chance.
I just want to say for all the people out there that are real mustard followers, I've done the best I could to represent mustard. I think the truth is in the debate that was happened today, and I'm hoping that you know Your Honor have understood and seen the light of the beauty of the ingredient mustard.
Is that a threat?
No, it wasn't a threat. I was just hoping you get this right.
I will
man.
Have the mustard police after me for this one if I don't agree with Mark. Okay, Amanda, what about you? A minute here. Any last closing statements on ketchup in behalf of ketchup?
Yes, on behalf of ketchup, which has given me many wonderful experiences and nostalgic food memories. I grew up with it. A French fry dipped in ketchup is probably one of my favorite things, next to a burger doused in ketchup. And those are memories that I don't want to live without. I can live in a world without mustard, but I won't live in a world without ketchup. Mm.
Okay.
I did have one other question for the opposite side. Is that possible to have one question?
The court
please?
Will allow this question.
Okay. The question is, you in your statement, you said how everybody, like as you said, everybody's trying to come up with a different recipe for ketchup. Chefs are making their own. Chefs or the other brands have come out with different ketchups. I'm just wondering, if ketchup is so great, why is everybody trying to reinvent the wheel and trying to make their own ketchup? I just don't understand. Is it something that hasn't been perfected yet?
Because imitation is the greatest form of flattery, Mark.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. Getting an extra...
You were about seconds to hit that gavel.
I was going to gavel him, but you know what? This is such a passionate argument here, having a little overtime works. Okay, listen, this one is tough because these are amazing chefs, friends of mine that I still want to be my friend after this decision here on Food Court. I have thought long and hard about it. Both chefs really making a great case. I mean, Mark Murphy, mustard being versatile. It's in aioli, it's in dressings, it's a binder. It's proper. You know, Mark telling his story about, you know, growing up in Europe where they don't really use a lot of ketchup. So mustard is like maybe the table condiment that everyone's familiar with. You know, a little knock against Mark's argument for knocking yellow mustard as being the black sheep of the mustard family. Come on, Mark. Come on. We like yellow mustard. And, you know, I have to say, one of my favorite stories ever in food court is now the Sixth Fleet mustard dishwashing story. It will live forever. We might have to work it into the theme song. I loved it.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Amanda, that ketchup takes tarnish off of things. I forgot. That was my other counterpoint.
Okay.
It does detarnish things. Sorry.
Well, there it is. Speaking out of turn.
Out of turn. But listen, wow. Mark, you had extra time as well. I tell you why.
No, I know. I just feel bad about being the disrespect towards the court. That's all.
No disrespect here. Competition is at its peak right now. Amanda making the case that that ketchup is full of umami, oysters, mushrooms, fermented fish, lycopene, and 97% of Americans have it on their table. It's used in Catalina dressing, which little did she know that that's the dressing of my new beef tartare at my new restaurant. But at the end of the day, this is a tough decision, ketchup versus mustard. But it did come down to, actually, our final closing comments. That's how close this battle was. In the last minute that our competitors had to talk, this was said, and this will determine the verdict. I don't want to live in a world without ketchup. This court favors ketchup.
I rest my case.
Poetry.
Do I have to go to jail now?
Who knew?
Can I make a confession?
You're in ketchup jail.
Can I make
Please.
A confession? Ever since I was a kid, when I sauced my hot dog, half would be mustard and half would be ketchup.
Fair enough. I do not believe in the National Hot Dog Sausage Council or whatever that was in the trivia. I put ketchup on my dog as well. And honestly, I love mustard. I'm making my own mustard too. There's all these wild mustards growing out here on this hill behind me. Mark and Amanda, thank you so much for joining me on the food court. I always say this when we have a great time. Would you come back on another episode?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it'd be a pretty dynamic 1-2 punch, to be honest.
I would love to.
All right, that's a yes from Amanda, and I don't know from Mark.
Oh no, I'm definitely into it. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You can find more of Amanda on Instagram at Chef Amanda F and at Amanda Freitag on Twitter. You can learn to cook from Amanda in her Easy AF videos that I've been watching all the time. They go live every Monday night on Instagram TV and YouTube. Lots of great tips in there. Plus, you get to see what's in her fridge. Lots of ketchup, obviously. You can also catch both Mark and Amanda judging on Chopped practically anytime you turn on the television on Food Network. Find Mark on both Twitter and Instagram at Chef Mark Murphy. And if you're in New York City, support his restaurants Landmark and Ditch Plains. Listen, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Richard.
I love both of you.
Thanks, guys.
Love you.
We'll also release in a special edition the 30 minutes tech setup that happened to get this
one going. I'm so sorry. I'm so mortified.
That was recorded.
No, it's all of us. Listen, audience, what do you think? I know that you think that I got it wrong. Half of you think that. Do you love ketchup? Do you love mustard? Do you hate them both? Do you love mayonnaise even better? Maybe I do. Do you think I got this one totally wrong? Let us know on the Food Court Pod Instagram or at Richard Blaze across social media, even on TikTok now at Richard Blaze Official. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Babahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are David Wasserman and Jasmine Blaze. Our theme song is by Jason Neesmith. Also in court today is Embry Blaze. Embry, you want to say hello? And goodbye. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whoever told you that a hot dog was a sandwich?